Today's story is The Fish Who Found the Sea by Alan Watts, illustrated by Koa Lee. Once upon a time, there was a fish who lived in the great sea, and because he was just an ordinary fish who had never known anything outside the great sea, he was not really aware that he was in it. He swam up and down and around without ever noticing that he was moving through the water, for the water was transparent. Whenever he moved, it got out of the way of his nose and yet gave him something against which he could push with his tail so to move himself along. Without it, he could neither swim nor live, but for all he knew, he might as well have been moving in empty space. Then one day, something peculiar happened to him. He began to think how curious it was that he could swim, for here he was, moving up and down, around in the midst of nothing at all by his own power. This, he thought, was surely very clever of himself. And then something else happened. You know how it is when you start thinking about something you do automatically, such as breathing or riding a bike, and you begin to get confused. It was the same with this fish. He began to get confused in his swimming. Looking down into the waters below him, he was suddenly terrified at the thought that he might forget how to swim altogether and go plunging forever into the darkness. At that moment, all his skill at swimming left him, and he began to fall. He realized then that there was just one chance of saving himself, to grab hold of his own tail with his mouth and hold himself up. At once, he curled up and made a snap at his tail. Unfortunately, his spine was not quite supple enough, and he missed. Not yet discouraged, he tried again and again with the same result, so that for some time he whizzed around in circles in frantic pursuit of his own end. The faster he chased his tail, the faster it moved away. This had been going on for some time when he began to realize that he was not getting anywhere and that his life was becoming dull, meaningless, and horribly monotonous. But he was much too frightened to stop. The fish was sure that if he relaxed the chase for a moment, he would plunge headlong into the abyss, and so he redoubled his efforts to save himself, in spite of the fact that he became more and more tired and disgusted every minute. Soon, he saw that he was in a hideous dilemma. He must either fall into the abyss or go on chasing his tail. Both alternatives were equally horrifying. He waved his fins in panic and prepared to die. In the meantime, the great sea had been watching this extraordinary behavior with mixed feelings of amusement and sorrow. For the great sea was as loving as it was vast. It gave all the creatures of the deep room to live and swim around. It never intruded upon them, always retiring generously before their noses and letting itself be pushed by their tails so they can move along. Still more, the great sea always surrounded them in such a way that it bore them up, made itself transparent so that they could see where they were going and enjoy all the wonders of the deep. Yet here was a crazy fish who thought he swam all by himself, who had gotten himself into a panic and was behaving as no fish should behave. Therefore, the great sea called out to the unhappy fish and asked him, "What do you think you're doing?" To which the fish replied, "I'm trying to catch hold of my tail and save myself from falling." "You have been doing that for a long time," observed the great sea, "and you are no nearer to catching it than when you started. So why haven't you fallen yet?" "Don't bother me," retorted the fish. "Can't you see that I'm busy?" "That's just what I can see," the great sea went on patiently. "But apparently you can't. You haven't caught your tail, you haven't fallen into the abyss, and yet you're still busy. How come?" "Oh, don't be stupid," snapped the fish. "Of course I haven't fallen down because I'm swimming." "You may well say goodness," said the great sea, "for how does it happen that you have stayed afloat and been able to swim during all this absurd performance?" This was too much for the fish. He stopped his chase and looked around to see who was talking to him. There was no one to be seen, and it was strange, but although he wasn't doing anything himself, he was still floating in the water, though it seemed to him as if he were suspended in empty space by some invisible force. "There now," continued the great sea, "you thought you were doing it all by yourself, and you never knew that I hold you up all the time. I have given all of myself to you, and yet you have forgotten me and wasted yourself in pursuing your own end. For it is in me that you live and swim and are able to be a fish. And to you that I have given the height and the depth and the length and the breadth of myself in which to swim. From that moment, the fish was happier than any other fish in all the waters of the world. Setting his own end behind him, where it belonged, he set out to explore the ends of the sea. And he found that wherever he moved, up or down, to the right or to the left, wherever the great sea expanded before him and supported him, so much so that he swooped and climbed and danced in joy, a creature in his true element, out of himself and into the sea, where indeed he had been all the time. The end. When we take a breath in, we breathe in the Spirit of God, and he becomes part of us. He is what keeps us alive. So for every breath we take, may God permeate our being. May we be aware of his presence. Amen.
Amen.